But hey, I'm excited this morning. I'm doing something a little bit different. Last week we did an illustrated sermon that we called The Cross. And normally on Easter we would do similar to like an illustrated sermon or a drama type thing. But I really wanted to go a different direction this morning. My message title, as you can see on the screen, is Hope Stories. Because I got to thinking about, what does Easter mean? If you were to stop an individual and ask them about Easter, the ones that would have some understanding of Easter would tell you that one of the things that Easter means is hope. Hope. And so I thought, you know what? That's what we need to hear. Because I know I'm not the only one that's going through the deep, dark valleys of life. I know that in a crowd like this, there are several people, maybe even more than just a few, that find yourself in very difficult and precarious situations right now. And so it's nice to hear hope. It's nice to be proclaimed hope is possible and it can be reborn. And so I want to read Revelation chapter 1, beginning verse number 17, just two verses of Scripture. It says, when I saw him, now this, you got to understand, this is John writing on the Isle of Patmos. He's been exiled. They tried to kill him. He wouldn't die. So they stuck him out on this rocky island in the Aegean Sea. It says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I want you to hear this. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. I want to focus on verse 18. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. May Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. Again, as I said earlier, this is one of the most exciting days in the to those who follow Christ, because today we celebrate, and actually today is Resurrection Sunday. I know we call it Easter, but truthfully, it's Resurrection Sunday. It is the day that we celebrate and commemorate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the reason that this day is so important is because all of Christianity hinges on this very day. I want you to understand that. The weight of Christianity, the claims of Christianity, they hinge upon this day. In fact, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he just put it like, empty or vain. If Christ be not risen, then the preaching and our faith is of no value. In other words, if Christ had not been risen, it was not rose. How do you say that? Somebody, if Christ has not risen from the grave, all my English teachers help me out. See, then here's the thing: what we do here every week is futile. It means nothing. It means absolutely nothing. See, the entire Christian faith hinges upon this one event. Prove it untrue, and all of the elements of our faith unravel. Everything unravels. This is why today is so important, because we're not here, as I said, to memorialize a dead religious leader. We're here to celebrate a risen Savior. Again, we can't lose sight of that. We're here to celebrate a risen Savior. In fact, a few verses later in 1 Corinthians 15, here's what Paul writes. He said, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. He didn't debate it. He just said, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. What does that mean? It means that he is the guarantor of a future resurrection. Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, they were concerned about people that died in the faith, and they didn't know what happened to those people. And so Paul said, hey, I don't want you to be ignorant about those who have fallen asleep. Because if Christ was risen, if Christ came out of the grave, then by no means are these that die in the faith going to stay there, because the Lord himself. And then he goes through the rapture verses that we know so well and love. See, that is the guarantee that because Christ lives, that the grave no longer has a hold on us. In fact, I did a sermon one time on Easter. I called it The Day Death Died. We actually had a funeral. Some of you might remember that. We actually had a funeral, had a casket here. The day death died, because that's what happened on Easter. In our text, Jesus declared to John, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of Hades and of death. I want you to think about for a moment, across this country and around the world, Christians today are celebrating the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Again, there's a lot of bad news. Again, I told you about Sri Lanka and the churches that were bombed. But again, turn on the television, pick up a newspaper, answer the next phone call. What we hear mostly today is bad news. Somebody done me wrong. You know, it's a song about that. You know? But here's the thing. I came today not to declare bad news. I came to bring good news. Do you understand this morning that I'm not here to proclaim a sad story of something that happened long ago that's not relevant for us today? I didn't come to do that. I came to say that because He lives, that you and I can face every challenge, everything that comes against us, because Christ is risen from the grave. Listen, He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. And because He lives, no matter where you are right now, hope is possible. Look at your neighbor and say, hope is possible. I want you to imagine the scene for a moment. How many of you like to use your imagination? Anybody? Listen, hey, if God gives it to us, might as well use it, right? I mean, I envision every Sunday having to preach five times to a packed house. One day. But here's the thing. I want you to use your vision and your mind for a moment. And think about, imagine the scene, okay? We've seen enough pageants and we watched enough movies on television to get this picture. Imagine what it must have been like to be there on that first resurrection morning. Imagine what it was like to be a disciple of Christ, going, one of those that followed Jesus for 3.5 years. Now the thing you have to do is you have to take into account what this week was like, okay? This past week to be a disciple. You see, they arrive in Jerusalem on Monday to a thunderous welcome by the masses, but by the week's end, it was a very different story. Again, imagine that with me, that you walk into town and everybody's lining the streets, and Palm Sunday is when we celebrate that. They lined the streets, and the Bible said they took off their outer garments, their coats, and they laid them on the ground, and they cut palm branches, and they laid those palms down on the ground so that the donkey that was carrying Jesus could ride through the streets of Jerusalem. Thunderous applause and celebration, and the crowds would say, Hosanna is the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And it was a thunderous celebration and all the excitement. And don't you imagine, I sometimes liken myself to Peter. Don't you imagine that Peter was like, we're with him. We're with him. You know, walked in like the big shot of town and like everything was, man, couldn't get any better. But just a few days later, man, how things had changed in a moment. I mean, Monday saw the triumphant entry, Friday brought the crucifixion, and Saturday left the disciples dazed and paralyzed with unbelief. Imagine you're one of those, and you've given up everything to follow Jesus. You sold your business, you walked away from your business, you left your families, you did all of this stuff to follow this man that spoke like nobody else. In fact, the testimony of Christ was that he spoke as one with authority. Nobody ever spoke like this man Jesus. In fact, he was the one that stood up on the bow of a ship in the middle of a storm and said, peace. And it calmed. You know, by the way, he's still able to do that to our lives. If you're being tossed about right now by the sea of life, he's still able to speak peace into our life. It was an emotional roller coaster kind of week. Have you ever had a week like that? Anybody? Have you ever had a week where it seems like one day, man, everything is going well, and just a couple days later, you're like, man, what happened? I mean, you get to the point where you hate to answer the phone because you're afraid of what kind of news is going to greet you on the other end. Think about these disciples. Again, they gave up everything to follow this man Jesus. They staked their lives and their future upon him. I need to tell you that this modern notion of partial commitment was unheard of in that day. Yeah, I was talking to Robert earlier, and today's normal church attendance is about every third Sunday. About every third Sunday. You wouldn't find that with these disciples. There was no partial commitment. They were all in. Lock, stock, and barrel. They gave everything. They committed to following him. They paid a tremendous price to follow Jesus. And yet I promise you, every one of them would say, you know what? It's worth everything. I wouldn't trade it. I mentioned this last Sunday during the altar time. I could rededicated my life in a barracks in San Antonio, Texas when I went into the military. 1985, January of 1985. You know what? It's been the best decision of my life. I wouldn't trade you anything for it. No partial commitment. Listen, these disciples were witnesses to things that were unheard of in that day. In fact, if you know anything about the Gospels, anywhere Jesus went, he was always doing good. I mean, just read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Every time Jesus showed up on a scene, something significant was going to happen. He was always raising the dead and healing the sick and opening blind eyes and unstopping deaf ears and making the dumb to talk and the lame to walk. And he was always feeding people with fish sandwiches on the seacoast of Galilee. I mean, who wouldn't want to be around that, right? And yet here they are on Friday and they are stunned as they watch Jesus being betrayed by one of their own. It wasn't that long ago when they had stood there watching Jesus stand at a tomb of one of his friends. The Bible said he'd been dead for 4 days. The mourners were there and the people were there. And Jesus shows up and they said, you know, Jesus, if you'd only been here just a little bit sooner. Anybody ever felt like that? Lord, if you'd only showed up yesterday, things would be better today. The Bible said those disciples stood there and they watched him and said, hey, move away the stone. And they protested, surely he stinks. Doesn't matter. Jesus said, move the stone. They moved the stone. He stood there and he said, Lazarus, come forth. Not even death could hold him when Jesus spoke. And yet, he's being betrayed. And the Bible says he was led like a lamb to the slaughter. He didn't do anything. Imagine how they felt after they watched the soldiers come and take Jesus away. I mean, they knew that all Jesus had to do was speak a word and instantly things would change. And yet he says nothing. They watch from a distance as he's beaten and ultimately crucified. I want you to think about everything that you staked your life upon was dying right before your eyes. Hope was gone. Confusion and discouragement grabbed them. They'd given everything up for this man. Visions of grandeur had entered their mind. But now this one had done so many mighty miracles, hung lifelessly on a cross. And their dreams and visions came crashing in upon them. As I said, normally we think of Friday being a good day. I mean, TGIF, it's got its own little acronym there. Especially in the context of Holy Week, we call it what? What do we call Friday? Good Friday. We call it Good Friday. There was nothing good about that day. Now, from our perspective, we can look back and we can see, okay? So we have hindsight. We can see that it was good because Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. We couldn't do it. It's Good Friday for that reason, but on that day it wasn't good. It wasn't good because Friday was anything but good. It probably, for the disciples, was the most horrific day in their lives. This was the day they lost hope. Have you ever lost hope? Have you ever been caught up in so much drama in your life? And I'm not talking drama necessarily in the sense of the silliness that sometimes people... I'm talking about stuff. Just one thing after another. You get one bill paid and another thing breaks down. And it just seems like you never get ahead. Or one issue is taken care of health-wise and then another one breaks out. And it's just a constant struggle all the time. You look at Sunday, you come to church and you look at Elder Eddie and Deacon Dan and Sunday School Sally and it seems like they don't have any problems. Seems like the kids behave, the dog behaves, the car's always running. Like they have nothing to be concerned about. And yet you walk in and you're like, why can't my life be like theirs? They have no struggles. See, Friday was anything but good because it was a day that hope died. Their faith was devastated. They'd give up everything to follow Jesus. Let me ask you this question this morning. Have you lost hope in 2019? Have you lost hope? Maybe you're one of those that early on in your life, you were brought up in church. You remember either riding a church van or going to Sunday school or children's church or maybe Royal Rangers or a Wednesday night program or an Awana's program. And you remember hearing the stories about Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. And you had this idea that Jesus would make everything okay. And you grew up and life wasn't okay because you still hurt. The doctor still tells you that it's incurable. People still pass away. They still die. Unfortunate things still happen. And it's not good. Have you lost hope in 2019? That dream that you held on to as a little boy, maybe even as in your teenage years, that dream of starting a ministry that nobody's ever done before, or that dream of reaching out to help hurting people, it just collapsed because you have no hope. Have you ever watched your dreams die in front of you? You see, if Easter teaches us anything, it is this. Hope can be reborn. Hope can be reborn. See, listen, church, as surely as there is a Friday, Sunday's coming. You see, the resurrection teaches us to pay less attention to the Fridays in our lives and more attention to the Sundays. We have to pay less attention to the troubles that we have in life and more attention to God's plan. Do you know where the disciples were on Sunday, the first day of the week? Anybody remember? They were hiding. According to John, they were behind locked doors. Maybe that's where you are today. Maybe you came because your mother said, you know what, sweetheart, you hadn't been to church with me a long time. Would you come sit with Mama? God bless you, Mama. God bless you, Mama. Maybe you just came today, but otherwise you'd be locked behind closed doors, spiritually speaking, because you don't want to hear the good news. I chose Jesus. I decided to follow Him, and my life hasn't been a picnic. You sit here today with hope lost. Listen, I want you to hear a couple of folks this morning that lived that very thing, hope lost, but it was reborn. Josh and Kristen, I want you to join me just for a moment. Blaine, if you want to come on down and sit down here on the front for me. I want you to hear this morning what hope can do, how hope can change anybody's life. If you're here this morning and hope is an elusive thing for you, resurrection, again, teaches us that we've got to pay less attention to the Fridays and more attention to the victory that is ours through Christ. I don't know who's going to talk, but... Hi, Katie. How are you, sweetie?
Good morning. How are y'all doing? All right, for those of y'all that don't know, this is my wife, Kristen. I'm Josh, our daughter, Katie. And Kristen and I have been together since seventh grade. We got married right out of high school. And about a year after we got married, we decided that we were going to start a family. And we had no idea at the struggles that we would have. And so we tried for 5 years before we finally got pregnant. And that was in March of 2013. We got pregnant with our first child. Very excited, told everybody, told our family, friends, had everybody praying for us. And 8 weeks after that, we had a miscarriage. It took 2 trips to the ER to figure that out. Kristen had to have a procedure done afterwards. And they told us that miscarriages are pretty common. We were young, we were healthy, to just keep trying, so that's what we did. So in September of 2014, we got pregnant a second time. And after just a couple weeks, we miscarried for the second time. So we were in the hospital, in the ER with that, excuse me. And they told us to follow up with our doctor. So we went to the doctor, followed up with Kristen's doctor. And she said that after the second miscarriage, something didn't look right, so she referred us to a fertility clinic. So we went to the fertility clinic. We had a couple IUI procedures done, and all three of those procedures were unsuccessful. So we tried IVF. For those of you that aren't familiar with that, it's a in vitro fertility, and it was very expensive. So the doctor assured us that the IVF would work after doing tests on both of us, so we went through with it. And in September of 2016 is when we went through with that IVF. Kristen had a surgery. They removed her eggs, fertilized them, and then we got a call a week later to come sit into the doctor's office. So we came and sat with the doctor, and they informed us that even after the $15,000 in the IVF, that it was impossible for us to get pregnant with fertilization or naturally, that there was nothing that science could do, there was no money that I could spend for us to get pregnant, and suggested that we start trying to adopt. So we looked into the adoption system, which is also not a very easy system, and decided to start fostering. And our first foster child was a boy named Ashton. We got him in late October of 2016, and we fostered him for about 6 months. Loved the kid like he was our own from day one. And in April, we were told that his family had got their rights back. And so at the end of April, we returned him to his family. And that was really relating to the Easter story. That was our Friday. We had tried naturally. We had tried
all the money and science and medical that was offered. We had even tried fostering, and everything was pulled from us. We felt hopeless. But like I said, that was the end of April. And then in May, we found out that we were pregnant. And that was a scary time for us because we had been told that that was impossible. You know, we had people from the church here praying for us through that. And so the 9 months was very scary. You dread every doctor appointment. But in January of 2018, Katie was born. Very big, very healthy.
What?
Okay. So I wasn't going to tell y'all the rest of the story. But so like I said, Katie was born in January. Very healthy. We were extremely content. You know, we kept up with our foster and adoption. We're still certified because we feel that that's a call on our lives, and we would be 100% content if Katie was our only child. But about 2 months ago, we figured out that Kristen's pregnant again, and she's due in November. Praise God.
Man, when all hope is gone, but God. That's what I'm telling you this morning. This is what Easter is about. It's about hope being reborn in the darkest days of your Fridays. There's a Sunday coming. Blaine, come on up here.
Hello. I fell out of my relationship with God and stayed that way for about a year and a half. Without that close relationship with God and not being armored with His truth, I was led down a very dangerous path and way of living. I fell into what is called the New Age movement very quickly and easily. For those that don't know, this New Age lifestyle is all about the self, good vibes, and positivity. If you don't know God or the Bible, then nothing about this lifestyle seems dangerous at face value, but it is indeed very wicked. It denies God's holy name and replaces it with terms such as the divine, source, the universe, and so on. Instead of blessings, it's the law of attraction, and instead of prayers, it's mantras. While many people such as myself had been are deceived by all the positivity this lifestyle promotes, it is so dangerous because you completely deny God and His power, ultimately leading you to an unsaved life and eternal damnation. February 24th of this year was my first time back in church since 2017. I was having a pretty severe panic attack that morning, and I was on the phone with my cousin Liz trying to calm myself down with no results when she asked to pray over me. I had already felt a nudging in my spirit to go to church 2 times before then that morning and had ignored it, but I agreed to let her pray. I began to cry during her prayer and over the words she was speaking over me, and I finally began to feel some calmness. When she finished her prayer, I heard loud and clear God speak to me. You see what I can do for you? I got off the phone, raced over here to church just in time to hear the last worship song, Good, Good Father. Floodgates were opened. I cried and cried and finally felt total relief from my panic. I thought that was the only reason God was calling me to church, for comfort, but I found out shortly after His real reason. Pastor Mike was beginning his new series, Immovable Faith, and the sermon that morning was Strong Faith for Rough Times. He was preaching out of 2 Timothy chapter 3 when Pastor read the words, having a form of godliness but denying its power, I immediately felt conviction. That right there is a definition of New Age. My entire way of living at that point in my life. There are no coincidences with God, and it was no coincidence that God called me to church on that exact Sunday to hear that exact message. Hearing those words, having a form of godliness but denying its power, I knew right in that moment what I had been called here for. God was making it crystal clear that how I had been living was anything but right. And since that Sunday, God has continued to work on me. My old self died that day, and God brought to life in me a new spirit filled with the Holy Spirit. There may be some here today, and God is calling to you. He wants to save you from your current way of living. He wants to see you rise up in his name, to lay down your old self, to turn away from this world, and to live according to his will. If that's true for any of you, answer him. Don't put it off any longer. Answer his call to you. Let his love lead you in obedience, and allow God to bring to you, and allow God to bring to life a new spirit in you filled with the Holy Spirit. Nothing would make him happier. Christ is risen and Christ saves. That's the message of hope today.
Amen. Powerful stuff. Did you pick up on that? She'd get sold out completely to the New Age philosophy of finding within yourself the answers that you seek. And God revealed very, very quickly that the answer is not within, it's above, it's him. It's in him that we live and move and have our very being. She didn't tell you the rest of the story, but shortly after Christ rocked her world, she's enrolled in Berean Bible School, doing her first class now on the Synoptic Gospels, and is pursuing ministry certification. And that's to go from 6 weeks ago to finding within yourself to now living for Jesus. That's an amazing thing. Last one I want to have this morning is Robert Miller. Robert, come on up here. Robert is from our district office. Robert pastored in, I won't tell you where because I don't like to put, no, I'm just kidding. He pastored outside of Tulsa in Oklahoma for a number of years. He is our director of finance and investments at the district. And I asked him to join us this morning and to share his story of hope, how God can take some of the darkest times of our life and bring a ray of light on Resurrection Day.
Thank you, Pastor. I appreciate it. Aren't these stories amazing today? God is a master storyteller, isn't he? And the stories that he writes with our lives are so powerful. And I believe we all have a story. And I believe God wants to use all of our stories for a purpose. All of us have a story. You may not get the microphone and share your story today, but God is giving us all platforms in our lives to share our stories, to draw people to him because of the testimonies of what God is doing. And I'll tell you mine just quickly this morning. My parents divorced when I was 3 years old. I was an only child by my mom and dad, and we were in a tough financial position. We were, my dad was in the union, and they went on strike. We lived in California, and he was diehard union. He wasn't going to go to work unless the union went back to work. And so we had to live in a tent in a public campground next to a grape orchard, a vineyard. And so that's how I grew up for about a year, was my mom would sneak over to the orchard at night and steal grapes and feed me grapes. It's amazing I still like grapes today. But we were so poor, and my dad wouldn't go back to work. And so my mom said, this is no way to raise a child. We can't raise our son like this. And so she left him, and that's how we ended up in Oklahoma. And when we did that, my dad disappeared from my life. I never had a relationship with him again. He never reached out to us. He never paid child support. He never called on my birthdays. He was never there. I did not know who he was. Again, I was three when they divorced, so I didn't have a great memory of him. And so I was raised by a single mom who was an incredible mom, but she worked really hard to raise me, and she worked as a secretary during the day and a bartender at night. So my mom worked around the clock so I could have the latest and greatest, you know, tennis shoes and sports equipment and video games and all those things, because she wanted to provide for her only son. And I can remember as young as 8 years old coming home from school, doing my own homework, making myself dinner, getting myself ready for bed and going to bed. And she'd kiss me about 2 a.m. when she came in from bartending at night. And then she would wake up in the morning as she was leaving for work. And so my mom realized something, that she knew I needed a father figure in my life. That she couldn't raise a young man by herself, she felt. And so that led my mom down a road of a series of choices that I know she thought were for the right reasons. And it led my mom being married and divorced 6 times while I was growing up. Felt like I had a different stepdad every week. I know it was spread out a little more than that. But those relationships were not, none of those were there for me. They were all there for my mom. And so, of course, that brought a lot of just mess into our home, drugs, alcohol, abuse. I was in the way of that relationship. And so that was my childhood growing up. And my mom did her best. She did it for the right reasons. But we didn't have a church background. I'm a first-generation Christian today. We didn't have a church background. My grandfather, my mom's dad died when my mom was only five in a drunk driving accident. He was the drunk driver, and he died, and somebody else lost their life in it. And so my grandma got hurt by the church. I don't know the whole story, but she got hurt by the church and swore she'd never step foot in church again. So that's how my mom was raised, and that's how I was raised. So we didn't have any of that church knowledge. And so at 18 years old, I graduate. I'm leaving home. I'm going to college, and I got a job at a bank. And I show up for my training at this bank, and there was 12 women in the class and me, an 18-year-old young man. I liked my chances going into this class. Well, there was one seat open next to me, and the classes started, the training had begun, and in through the door in the back came this noise was happening, this commotion, and in walked this beautiful, dark-headed young lady, and I was like, yes, there's a seat right next to me. And so she came and sat next to me, and that has now been my wife of 20 years that God brought her into my life. She was a good AG church girl, Pastor. She was born and raised in church. She was a good girl. I have no idea what she saw in me. Listen, Dad's, I got some advice for you this morning. I went to her house to meet her parents because we started, you know, dating. And before I could ever get in the door, her dad stops me at the door. And she walks in and hi, nice to meet you, sir. And the first things out of his mouth were, nice to meet you. It'd be real good if you'd come to church with us this Sunday. Now, I wasn't very smart, I was probably still not, but I was smart enough to know it wasn't one of those optional things, like if you feel like it, if it fits your schedule, if it ever works out. It was like, boy, if you ever want to see my daughter again, you will get your tail to church with us this Sunday. And so I did. I went to church with her. A couple weeks later, I gave my life to the Lord. I still remember that Sunday like it was yesterday. I was in the balcony, and I had broken my ankle playing ball. And the pastor, I didn't know all these pastor things back then, right? And he did the whole thing, raise your hand, and I'd raise my hand. And then he said, come to the front. I was like, I'm up here. I got a broken ankle. I can't walk. And I remember that argument I had with now God that day of going, this isn't for me. I can't do this. But I accepted that gift that was given that day, and I've never been the same since. And so I'm thankful for that. But here's where it gets good. We got engaged. We were going to get married. And so my mom went and found my dad, of all things. And she said, you're old enough to decide if you want to have a relationship with him or not, but he needs to be at your wedding. His only son's getting married. He needs to be at your wedding. And so here I am. My dad's back in my life, and I'm about to get married. And I realized this story that all of a sudden God was writing in my life was just incredible. And I was so thankful for it. But how many have hurt from your past that you kind of hold on to? And I had a lot of hurt and this anger and this disappointment and this frustration started welling up in me because I didn't really know the man. So I didn't think about it too much before. But now all of a sudden I thought about every ball game he missed, every big day he missed, every milestone in a young man's life where he needs a father that he missed, all those losers that came into our home that my dad should have been there to get out of the way, right? I thought about all those things, and I was trying to protect myself from the pain and protect my mom and protect my wife. But I'm proud to tell you that my dad and I have an incredible relationship today. We picked up like we never left off. My dad is so supportive. He loves me. He loves his grandchildren. I have four kids. He loves every one of them. He's supportive. I realized I get a lot of habits from my dad. Anybody have some habits that you got from your parents? One of the things is he hums all the time. Hum songs. I do that all the time, and now I realize where I got it from, so I blame that on him. But I'm so thankful I have my dad back in my life. And here's the key, though. This is so important, and this is what today is all about, stories of hope. I couldn't have the relationship with my dad today if I didn't do this one important thing, and that's I chose to forgive him. How many of you know, I was 19 now, I was married, and I could have said, Dad, I need a car, I need a house, you know, all those years of no child support, you got to make up for that, right? You got to earn your way back into this relationship. But I chose to forgive him with no conditions, no negotiation, no, you know, holding his feet to the fire. I knew that I had to look ahead and not behind if I was going to be thankful for having my dad back in my life. And here's what I realized. I've been married now for 20 years. I have four amazing children. I didn't have a father figure growing up in my life. I didn't know what it meant to be a dad. I didn't know what it meant to be a husband. But I've heard the statistics, and you have too, of kids from fatherless homes and how bad things are, runaways and children taking their lives and behavior disorders. I mean, high school dropouts, the statistics are overwhelming. Young men that are incarcerated, the number of them that come from fatherless homes. And I read all those things, and I have every reason. I have every excuse to be one of those statistics because all I had to do is blame it on not having my dad growing up. My dad wasn't there, so therefore I can make every choice I want. I can do every bad thing I want. It doesn't matter because I didn't have a dad. But I chose to not be a statistic. I refused to accept that generational mantle that was being passed down to me because I believe that my past doesn't dictate who I am today. That all of our futures aren't dictated by our past. And so I believe this, that I stand here as a living and breathing testimony of what only God can do. And I say those two words. You said, but God. I say only God, because there's things that God's done in my life and he's still doing that only God can do. And that's what I'm praying for people today, that they'll have only God moments, that we can't take any credit for it. We can't say I was in the right place at the right time, or it was my good looks, or, you know, whatever, I've earned it with my education, but only God did it. So let me tell you the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say. I was in a relationship with my dad. I was married now, and, you know, my dad and I were communicating and those type of things. Well, my mom also started talking to my dad. And in about 3 years of them talking back and forth, my mom moved back to California and remarried my dad. How many of you know that's an only God moment? Only God can restore my family like that. Only God can bring my dad and my mom back together. I was never one of those kids that could say my parents growing up, right? And now I can say that my parents are coming. I'm going to see my parents. I called my parents. I mean, just the little things like that, that only God did. And I'm so amazed by what he did with that. But let me tell you the final thing here. So not only did God bring my biological father back in my life. Remember the father-in-law or the dad of the daughter that stopped me at the door? He took me in like a father as well. Great Christian man. I call him dad to this day. I'm his only son. He had three daughters. And so he became a dad to me. But you remember that church I got saved in and I made that walk down the altar? That pastor took me under his wing and became my spiritual father and is still my spiritual father to this day. So I went from none to three amazing fathers in my life. And so that's what I believe for you today. That God can do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ever ask or think. Whatever you're believing for hope in your life, God can do it. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to wrap this up this morning. I want you to understand something. When the disciples on Friday saw Jesus hanging on the cross and they heard him say, "It is finished," they interpreted that to mean he was throwing the towel in, that their hope was dashed, that there were no possibilities. What they didn't understand was that when Jesus said it is finished, he wasn't saying I quit. He wasn't saying I'm throwing the towel in. When Jesus cried out it is finished on Friday, he knew Sunday was coming. He had told them, if you destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll rebuild it. He said it is finished because he understood I've paid the price. No longer will my people be held hostage to sin and tyranny. And I came to tell you this morning, that's what hope is all about. See, you may be in the middle of a Friday right now. Maybe this is Friday for you. Maybe you walked in here today. Again, it's an Easter thing to do. We go on Resurrection Sunday. We celebrate. We have family time. And those are wonderful traditions to be involved in. But maybe you walked into this building this morning and it's Friday in your life right now. I mean, if the truth was known, maybe things can't possibly get any worse for you. Maybe you are tempted to be like the disciples and lock yourself behind closed doors and say, you know what, I tried that one time, I'm not doing it again. Maybe you thought, you know what, I followed Jesus for naught. I thought things were going to get better. And they didn't. You're looking at a guy that I speak truth because that's the only thing I know. It's the only thing that sets people free. I wish I could stand here and tell you that if you choose to follow Christ with your life, that everything will always be hunky-dory. Everybody know what that means? Okay, that's Alabama colloquialism there. But, you know, I wish I could tell you that if you chose Christ, that everything, you'll never have another bad day. You'll never have another ingrown toenail. You'll never have another migraine headache. You'll never have another overdue bill. I wish I could say that, but I can't. Because Jesus said, in the world you'll have tribulation. But be of good cheer because I've overcome. Yeah, we fight battles. And at times it would be easy to think we were better off before Christ came into our life. But see, that's on Friday. The rest of the story is that Sunday's coming. Full of resurrection power. To bring life in those dead areas of our life. I don't know what's dead in your life this morning, but on this Resurrection Sunday, life can be reborn in your life. You can have hope today by turning to Jesus with all of your heart. Let Him take the broken pieces of your life, the dashed dreams, the failures, and let Him give you hope this morning.
How great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me His own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. Broken every chain, there's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory. Oh, hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Then came the morn that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe out of the silence. The roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory. Oh, hallelujah. Raise the one.
Come on, church, stand with us and sing.
Hallelujah. Death has lost his grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost his grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. God, you are my living hope.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Folks, that's what Easter is all about. It's about restoring hope. It might be Friday in your life right now. Maybe you walked in and things are not well with you. I want us to close this morning by simply doing a couple things. I want everybody to bow with me just for a moment, real quick. I feel like I need to do this. Listen, I've often said that you can't have the benefit of the family if you're not part of the family. There are great and precious promises that God gives to us as believers, followers of Christ. But that's the key there, is that we are followers of Christ. We're disciples of Christ. On this Easter Sunday, maybe you walked in this morning with no hope. And I'm talking about hope beyond this life. See, Jesus is coming. He told his disciples, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again. See, that's the hope of what we do here this morning. And with nobody looking here this morning, I'm going to ask you this question. Is Jesus Lord of your life? Maybe you sit here this morning and you fully don't comprehend everything that Easter is. I'm here to tell you, Easter is about hope. It's about hope beyond this life. And if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then this morning I want to give you that opportunity. Secondly, this, maybe you did. Maybe at one time you walked with him, but you've walked away from him. He's not your living hope. He's an afterthought. You're not engaged in living for the Lord. When it's convenient and it makes sense, you serve him, but otherwise, you don't give him any thought. We know today's a day that you can be reborn. Hope can be reborn in your life. The second thing is this. These signs down here represent hope reborn for each of these individuals. And as they walked across this platform this morning, maybe something resonated with you. Maybe you were addicted and struggling with meth or drugs, pills of some sort, or alcoholism, or maybe self-harm, or maybe you've been involved in accidents, wrecks and stuff that you just don't know what your purpose is. Maybe you've had cancer. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Here in a moment, I'm going to ask you if you want that hope to be restored and reborn. We've asked these to stay here at the front, and we want to pray for you this morning. I thought, what better way to pray for someone than someone who's gone and walked the same path? If you're here this morning, nobody looking around, just real quick, and you say, you know what, Pastor, I need to commit my life to Christ, either for the first time or an act of rededication. If you're here, say, you know what, I'm not walking in that covenant relationship with him this morning, and I need to. If that's you, would you just slip your hand, write it right back down, just real quick. Just write it right back down. Say, Pastor, pray for me. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Yes, ma'am. I see that. Yes. Just real quick, write it right back down. Yes, ma'am. I see that. You can put it down. Yes. Anybody else? Pastor, you know, today I need to get things right with the Lord. Today's my day. Maybe you're here this morning and say, you know what, Pastor, some of these things that you have up front here, they resonate with me. I'm suffering from my struggle with life-controlling habits. I want to be free today. I want to be free today. Maybe yours is not up here, but maybe you're struggling with something right now that keeps you bound. It keeps you locked behind closed doors. See, the disciples on Resurrection Sunday were hidden behind closed doors, even though Jesus had told them repeatedly, I'm going to die, I'm going to be buried, but I'm coming back. They found themselves behind closed doors. Maybe that's where you are today, and the Lord's saying, hey, it's time to open the door. It's time to get out of that hiding and live for me. With nobody looking around, if that's you this morning, say, you know, Pastor, I'm struggling with some areas of my life, and I want to release it all to him this morning. Would you just slip your hand right back down? Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, in the balcony. I see those. Yes. Anybody else? While we sing this song again, if you raise your hand, maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you want to be prayed for this morning, I just want to do it like this. Would you, as we sing, would you step out and would you come and find one of these individuals that are here and let them pray with you in agreement? Would you do that this morning? Listen, you don't have to carry that by yourself. There is freedom in the house this morning. Jesus lives so that we could be free. As we sing, would you come this morning? Would you come and be prayed for?
Hallelujah.
Come on, church, join with me as we sing. Come on, if you raise your hand, you want somebody to pray with you, come on, we'll pray with you this morning. Come on, you can walk out of here free this morning too. You can walk out of here free this morning.
You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Raise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me.
Friend, come on.
Praise the one.
Come on, don't walk out of here carrying that same
free
thing with growing with you. Walk out of here free in the name of Jesus.
Death has lost its grip.
Thank you, Jesus.
On me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could so great a mercy.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
what
Jesus.
What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Dutiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah.
Praise
the one who set me free.
We bless your name, Lord.
Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. God, you are my living.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Church, he's our living hope. We're not here to memorialize a dead leader. We're here to celebrate a risen Savior. As I dismiss this morning, I want to challenge you. Walk in resurrection power. The things might be dark in your life now. It may be Friday in your life. But you've heard some amazing stories of in their Fridays, they held on and they pursued, and God brought a Sunday to pass. I was thinking about this scripture, Isaiah 55, he said, why do you spend money for what is bread, what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? He said, listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. In other words, what he's saying is, why do we futilely run from one solution to another that really isn't a solution at all? Why do we keep looking for living things among dead things? He told the ladies at the tomb, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. Why is it that we keep looking for answers in all the wrong places when the answer is the living hope of Jesus Christ? Hey, next Sunday we're going to have a baptism service. You need to be baptized. Bring a change of clothes and a towel. And at the end of service, we're going to have a baptism service. Put your hope in the one who has never let you down and would never fail you. Amen? I love you so much. Thank you for being with us this morning. Let me just pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for our living hope today. Lord, I thank you this morning for hope stories. I thank you that, Lord, there are many. We used three this morning, but there are so many more stories of people that were in the darkest dark of their life, and yet you shined a ray of light of hope into their dark situation. I pray, Father, we walk out of here today with that knowledge that, Lord, you are alive. And because you live, we can face every challenge of tomorrow. Lord, every difficulty that comes our way. Lord, every Friday that comes, may we just hold fast because Sunday's coming. Lord, I pray that resurrection power would fill each of us, that we would walk out not weary in well-doing, but, Lord, that we will maintain in you. And, Lord, we thank you for the promise that is yet to come. Lord, I love and I bless each one. Now bless our time together, our fellowship together, and the day as we celebrate Resurrection Sunday. Let it always be mindful that we do have a living Savior, a risen Savior, who is our living hope. I love and bless each one now in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen, amen. God bless you. Love you this morning. Comes alive.